Telramund's wife, Ortrud, says almost nothing in Act I, but she dominates Act II. It was she who convinced Telramund to make his accusation against Elsa, claiming that she had seen Elsa drown her brother. Telramund believed it at the time, but now he's not so sure. He suggests they flee the kingdom, but Ortrud refuses. Wagner is fantastic at capturing the sound of conspiracy and of evil. The composer wouldn't write Götterdämmerung for another quarter century, but the conversation between husband and wife foreshadows Hagen's conspiring with Alberich.
Erhebe dich, Genossin meiner Schwach, der junge Tag war für uns nicht mehr sein. Ich kann nicht fort, hierher bin ich gewandt, auf diesem Glanz des Festes unserer Feinde. Lass sauge mich ein furchtbar tödlich Gift, das unsere Schmerz.
Telramund complains bitterly that his wife has cost him his honour. He should never have married her. Mein Ehr ist hin. My honor is gone. As we know, Wagner was mad for German myth. The primal stories he found in Eschenbach and the Volsunger Saga inspired him to some of his greatest creations. But this outburst sounds like something more. The composer often humanized his stories by throwing in autobiographical material, and one wonders if the passion in this scene wasn't fueled by Wagner's first marriage. Wagner married the actress Minna Planer in 1836, but the marriage had its challenges. By all reports, the lovers fought constantly. Certainly any wife asked to put up with Wagner's towering ego and constant inability to live within his means had to have been a woman of patience. After years of scrimping, Wagner secured his first important appointment as Royal Saxon Court Conductor for life in Dresden in February 1843. Here was artistic, social, and financial security in a single package. But Wagner was drawn into the growing revolutionary movement in Germany that demanded political reform and greater individual freedom. It was actually his political involvement, not his just-completed score for Lohengrin, that got the composer in trouble. The year 1849 marked a turning point, and as Europe experienced the so-called Year of Revolution, Wagner found himself implicated in a plot against the king, and Minna and the composer had to flee the country. Wagner ended up in Switzerland, where Minna only reluctantly joined him, interrupting an affair the composer was having with a married woman. Things were patched up, but further fights and affairs followed, and by the 1860s, the couple was permanently living apart. Wagner may, in fact, have drawn inspiration from his relationship with Minna for both the evil wife Ortrud and the shining Elsa. He was a dramatic man, prone to see his own life in the same oversized gestures that made his operas so gripping. Telramund accuses Ortrud of lying about Elsa's killing her brother. Ortrud does not deny the accusation, but explains that Lohengrin's power can be broken by wounding him or just by learning his name. Only Elsa has the power to do the latter, so they must plant in her mind suspicions about her blameless lover. Telramund is won over by the realization that he was defeated in battle by Lohengrin, not because God was on Lohengrin's side, but because Lohengrin used magic. Ortrud swears to get her revenge. Imagine that the first Ortrud was sung by an 18-year-old girl, Josefina Fastlinger. Wagner didn't just write operas and invent musical instruments. He also charted new territory for singers. The Wagnerian Heldentenor had debuted in Tannhäuser and would recur with Lohengrin. But Wagnerian parts were not just demanding for the tenor. The composer expected a range, strength, and sheer stamina that was frightening to many singers of his day. One understands where the popular image of the fat lady shouting originates, but a true Wagnerian singer must do more than bark. Ortrud prostrates herself before Elsa, and the innocent Elsa, of course, forgives her for everything and promises to plead for Telramund. This is a mistake. Ortrud's real purpose is to catch Elsa off guard and plant the suspicion that Lohengrin is not as trustworthy as he appears. When she suggests this, Elsa is dismissive. "Poor woman," Elsa says to Ortrud, "you cannot know how free from suspicion is a loving heart." Except that the suspicion has in fact been planted. The opening of the next scene is breathtaking in scope. The king's trumpets again summon all the noblemen, and in a triumphal chorus, the men greet the conquering hero, Lohengrin. The king has made his decision. Telramund is banished, and Lohengrin will be named guardian of Brabant. Remember that the king's main reason for coming to Brabant was not to work out Elsa's family problems, but to raise an army to defeat the Hungarians. Having solved the former, it's time for the latter. But some of the Brabantian nobles are not so sure. Why should they leave their homes to fight a distant war? Telramund promises to back these rebels by accusing Lohengrin of treachery. It is in fact Ortrud, not her husband, who first challenges Lohengrin. In front of everyone, she demands to know why Lohengrin, whose name they do not even know, should have precedence over her husband and his well-known and honoured family name. Who is this knight and where does he come from? Telramund makes the charge formal, accusing Lohengrin of using magic. Lohengrin answers that Telramund has no right to demand anything, having dishonoured his own name. Nor will the knight tell his secret to the king or his nobles. Only Elsa has a right to ask who he is. Privately, Telramund tells Elsa that if Lohengrin is wounded, the knight will lose his power. He tempts Elsa by explaining that once his name is revealed, Lohengrin will never be able to leave her side. But Elsa is torn, and she publicly reaffirms her faith in her saviour and is hailed by the assembled throng.